Today's program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to the first episode of Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and I'm back with a new show and a great guest. Denise Herman is with me in the studio today. She's an amazing dog trainer. She knows a lot about cats, and she's also a friend. Today, we're going to talk about cats and dogs, specifically information about basic care. Think of this episode as an everything you want to know about cats and dogs but are afraid to ask segment. This is a great show if you're thinking of getting a cat or dog for a pet. We'll fill you in on all the details of what's involved. Here's a little bit about Denise and why I invited her to join me today. In 1999, Denise graduated valedictorian from the San Francisco Academy of Dog Trainers. In 2000, she created and opened Empire of the Dog, a training facility in Brooklyn, New York for pet dogs and their families. Denise has created an app to help with dog training, as well as two e-books available on iTunes. Besides training dogs, she's written for the Bark magazine, she's been written about in Dog Fancy magazine, and recently, Meetup.com invited her to meet with their CEO, as her meetup group is one of the highest performing ones in the area. Denise trains in Brooklyn, New York, and Baltimore, Maryland. You can contact her at empireofthedog.com. Denise also knows a lot about cats as pets. However, at this point, she doesn't train them, but she's featured in an e-book called Your First Cat. Welcome back, Denise. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming back for the inaugural show.
Oh, it's good to be back, Celia. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm very excited that you're here, and I'm really excited about today's topic because I think a lot of people get dogs and cats, and they don't really think it through, or they just have absolutely no idea what it's going to involve. So what I would like our goal today to be is to help our listeners understand their options to find the most suitable pet and how to keep their pets as happy and healthy as possible. Because as you and I know, happy pets are much easier to take care of than ones that are stressed out, depressed, or scared.
Yeah. Happy definitely translates to better behaviors. Unhappy, you know, an unhappy dog is not good.
Totally.
It's unhappy cats may be worse.
That's bad. That's really bad. So first off, we're going to talk about cats and dogs together because some of the information is very similar. So, for example, all right, you have someone that comes up to you and goes, I want a pet. So what are some of the first things that they really need to think about before racing to the pet store and buying one sight unseen?
There's some practical things they need to think about, and then there's some emotional ones. You know, what kind of a pet might appeal to you? Some people need and like the fluffy wuffy. Mm-hmm. Other people kind of go towards the exotic, or sometimes people also want one that's going to be more interactive, and these all depend on the type of pet you decide to get. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, the practical things are, how much is this particular pet probably going to cost to take care of, and what's the time commitment you're going to need to take care of it as well? So I would say that between, you know, those three, there's the emotional, you know, what do I want? Mm-hmm. And then the reasonable, what can I afford time, energy, lifestyle-wise to get? I would love a border collie, but I know I don't run that much. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an outdoorsy enough person to have that, for example. So
I hear you.
That's a thing, you know, a consolation, a thing I have to make where I'm like, I can't have the border collie of my dreams probably just now.
There's an emergency vet in Brooklyn, and actually in their bathroom they have a sign up. It's like a big poster, and it knocked my socks off when I first saw it because it was saying that the average amount of money spent in the first year of a dog's life is approximately $4,000 and a cat is approximately $1,400. And I don't think people realize even that, just with putting aside veterinary bills and all that kind of stuff, I don't even think people realize how much it's going to cost to feed them.
Yeah. That any emergency care, you know, and if they don't get it through a rescue, if you're looking at a purebred dog, then you're looking at a lot of moolah too.
Yeah, totally.
So economically, it, you know, if that's a consideration, it's another plus in the rescue dog or cat column. Mm-hmm. You know, I was always lucky. My dog, I joke, you know, I got so lucky. That dog up to 13 years old probably never cost me more than three grand, four grand in her whole life.
That's amazing.
I know. You know, that's you get great. If you get health, you don't get behavior. So she's had behavior problems because she's had great health. She's a horse, basically. You know, and now she has a heart thing. So now the money's, you know, shelling out.
Yeah.
But it could have just as easily gone the other way. I had a friend that just got a dog, and they immediately had to go in for surgery and had something obstructing it. And you know, $3,000-$4,000 later.
Yeah.
They're, you know, like here we go. So.
And I think that's a really good point, because I worked at a vet for 4 years, and before I worked at a vet's office, I really didn't understand what entailed in surgeries and things like that. And so, you know, when people came to pick up pets that had like emergency blockages or something like that, and the bills were pretty high, but it's like you've got, you know, a vet working, you've got a nurse working. It is pure surgery. I mean, they are using anesthesia and major drugs, and it's a lot of time involved.
Yeah. And if it's an emergency situation, that's basically like checking yourself into the ER.
Totally.
It's not the same as an elective thing, which, you know, brings us down later when we start to talk about house proofing for your pet. That's really going to save you money.
Totally. I mean, I think something else for people to really think about, and it seems so crazy, but I've seen this so many times, that like if you're young, you know, let's say childbearing age, think about if you want to have kids, because if you do in the future, your pet's going to be with you for at least 10 years, you know? So my opinion is, if you're planning on having children, don't get a pet that hates kids, because it's just going to cause problems, and it's not fair to give the pet away. The pet was there first.
Yeah. I definitely get a lot of questions from people about, oh my God, my dog hates... The interesting part is, my dog hates kids, they'll say, and now we're about to have one. And typically, it's really interesting, because in that situation... More often than not, the dog will socialize up quite well to their child, since it starts out, it's a lovely case study for desensitization, because it starts out as a blob. It does not represent as a toddler or child or anything yet, and it moves into that realm so slowly that the dog socializes to it quite well. The problem, though, is that then you have to account for what's going to start happening next, which is play dates and other children, strange children, and all of that stuff, because the dog's not going to be as tolerant and normal around all the other kids. So, but people are terrified that their dog's going to, you know, like, kill their child because it doesn't like children.
Yeah.
And you should plan, but you don't have to panic worry about that. There's a lot of ways around that. Not to go off topic, but I just did. So, okay.
No, by all means, feel free. You know, we're loose here. It's all good. One of the other questions that people will ask me is, actually, I wish more people asked me this question, to be totally honest with you, is how do you choose a dog or cat that's really good for you and your family? Because so many people buy an animal because it's cute and they don't go into it, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, let's talk about this.
Yeah, and dogs, you know, picking a family dog or cat is really, is a big challenge, and it's kind of, you have to do it differently for each of them. You know, a dog, if you really want it to be good with a family, you can try to get a puppy and raise it with your family if that family is already existing, so that it socializes up to them, but there's still no guarantee. You know, each dog is still an individual, and they may or may not be more or less tolerant of the types of things kids do, which is to scream, to pull, to be unpredictable, to fall down, you know, to grab the dog, all of that stuff. One dog is going to be more comfortable or allow that more than another dog. And it doesn't make the one that isn't as comfortable with it a bad dog. It just means that he just has a different pre-makeup to how he's going to feel about that.
Well, there are people that hate kids too. Yeah. So, like,
none of them are sitting here. So, you know, I tend to err on the side of go with an adult dog that you can test out with your kids and family, and maybe through a foster situation or something like that, that what you see is what you get. You know, often people think with a puppy, erroneously so, that a puppy's a blank slate.
Yeah.
And the fact is that a puppy really is an unknown slate. You can try to do all the right things, but there is the genetic wild card in there, and you just don't know how that's going to play out as the dog matures. You're not literally writing that dog from scratch. Certainly, if you stick with a dog that looks like it's a breed mix of some really, you know, known to be super friendly, easy to socialize breeds, you know, not to, you know, pigeonhole, but golden retrievers, labs, sometimes collies, you know, and some other things, you might be stacking the deck a little bit better starting with a puppy of those. But, you know, I've had people start with puppy black labs, and it grew up to be quite anxious. And,
yeah.
And you would have never known that. You would have thought, this is going to be a great adult dog.
I had one of these growing up. I loved it.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Do you feel it's the same way with cats?
Well, I think it's different with cats, actually, because I feel like cats are actually much better to start with as kittens and expose them to stuff. I feel like the genetics they bring to it are a little more malleable, whereas, you know, adult cats are a little more set. Certainly if the adult cat doesn't like something, I think it's going to be much harder to get it to be comfortable with it than an adult dog would be. But again, if you have an adult cat and you're like, this cat's wonderful, he loves everything, then that's a good cat to get.
Totally.
You know, and if you get a young kitten, usually unless you do something awful, they tend to come out pretty okay. They tend to. Well, unless they're calico. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, right.
Not bashing calico cats.
No. Calicos are lovely. They're just a little moody sometimes.
A little spotty. Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, I remember an old horse trainer telling me once when I was a kid, I got this Jack Russell. His name was Turbo, and he was crazy, and he was a great dog, and I loved him, and he was totally inappropriate. He was good when I got him because I was working on a farm. And then not that much later after that, I wound up leaving the farm, and then it kind of became a problem. But the first day I got this dog, he bit through a horse rope, okay? I mean, they're like seriously an inch thick of rope, broke off, took off, okay? We were all competing, so we didn't even know he was gone. And somebody called me forward, this really scary groom, and just kind of pointed to my dog, who was hanging off his Doberman's throat. Just grabbed this dog's throat and is just hanging there. I mean, he was 6 weeks old, shaking back and forth. And so this guy was just like, you know, it's not a really great dog. And I was like, yeah, it's a puppy, whatever. And it was really funny because he told me that if you have a dog that doesn't like having its feet touched, it's probably not going to be that great with kids. And I know this is a huge generalization. I know this. However, I found it to be pretty true.
Well, I think it bodes that the dog does have some handling issues, and kids are really bad at handling.
Yeah.
They're very impulsive. It depends on the age of the kids. You could probably get away with that with it if a kid was 10 or older. But if the kid is fairly young and hasn't been able to control its impulses yet, then that's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So it's not so much that, like, oh my God, the, you know, handling feet is the harbinger of bad dog with child.
Totally.
It's just going to put it in the hot seat more than you would want to.
Okay. So now,
yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about what you need to, if you want a pet, what you need to find and what you need to know exists before you even get this pet home in terms of local resources.
Well, once you decide, you know, if you maybe want a cat or you want a dog, and you still need some resources that deal with both of those, but different for each set of things. You want to find a veterinarian near you. You can look around. I know a lot of people these days use Yelp to find a good veterinarian, but also you can ask around to get some general idea of what's close to you and what they have to offer. You want to get a veterinarian, number one. You want to look into, depending again where you're going to get your dog, you might want to first look and see, what are my, you know, rescue options if I want to go that route.
Yeah.
That's another thing to check out for sure. You also want to find out, you know, just your local pet store. And if you have, you know, if it's a dog, do you have dog parks? If you have a cat, you know, are there people who can come and take care of the cat on vacation? Do you have resources set in place for that?
Totally.
Whether it's neighbors or friends or someone's daughter. You know, I made a nice little living for a while doing pet sitting when I was, you know, in my late teens. And that's a great thing to have in your, you know, pocket, because it is something where you sort of get housebound sometimes when you have a new pet and you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to take a vacation again.
Yeah,
who will
yeah.
take care of this animal? And especially if it has any minor behavior problems, that can kind of make it tough too.
Totally. And if you do hire a professional walker or boarder or one of these kind of places, make sure that they are licensed and insured big time. And look for references for this, because especially in times like now when people are looking for work and need work, a lot of people think that dog walking and cat sitting is really easy work. And so they, you know, I had a dog, so I'm going to do this.
It's, oh, yeah.
I was a dog walker for a year. Let me tell you, it was really, really hard work. It was great, but it was rough work. So you don't want someone who's just decided to do this on a whim. You want someone who's really committed.
Yeah. There's a lot of specific things with dog walking. You know, there's even a dog walking academy.
Yeah.
Now that teaches people how to walk dogs, and all it mostly what it boils down to is safety stuff.
Totally.
Your dog is just at such high risk when it's out in public on the street.
Yep.
So, yes, so it's good to get someone who's got experience on that so that you don't have any liability thing, or they don't lose your dog or anything like that.
Exactly.
And then, did I say dog parks? You know, that's that's a big thing now that everyone kind of gets, is that, yeah, we have to have them to the dog park. We want to have a dog park. Or a beach you could run them on, or a basketball court that, you know, is fenced in or something like that. Even, you know, even a neighbor's yard, if you don't have an area like that, could help.
Cool. So we're going to take a break from our sponsor, and we will be back shortly. This is Celia and Denise, and we're on Animal Instinct.
You are listening to Dirty Hands by Eula on the heritageradionetwork.org. Stay tuned for more from Animal Instinct.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. In our industrial world, most wines have become brands, but the wines I love are so much more. Fine wine is a civilizing substance that connects us to nature. It cannot be stamped out in a factory. If you're listening to this great show, you probably eat different. I urge you to drink different too. Go deeper. Cane5.com.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Celia Kutcher and her show Animal Instinct. I am here with Denise Herman today. We are talking dogs and cats. Very exciting. So we're going to start off with a dog segment, and we're going to talk about dogs. Then we're going to talk about cats. So I want a dog. What do I do?
There's a lot of things to think about when you're going to get a new dog. There's size. There's age. There's the temperament, there's physicality of the dog, as far as how much time do you have to take care of grooming things, health issues that a certain either breed or even, you know, breed mix type of dog might have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I think size and probably age are the two biggest ones, I would say. You can definitely teach an old dog new tricks, and I love, you know, there's even geriatric dog rescues now, which I love. I'm a big fan of dog rescue, for sure. All of my dogs have been rescues. All of my trainers have rescue dogs. We volunteer with rescue. I was rescuing dogs before I was even training them.
Nice.
So I'm a big fan of that. And I would say that I want to make sure people really know that you can get a great dog from rescue. You just have to not be an impulsive shopper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get, people get really, they see the dog in the window and they're like, I want to have it. And, you know, that often can work out okay.
Yeah.
But it's not really doing the best for your family and even for yourself. It's not your best option.
Mm-hmm.
So think about, you know, what age of dog. If you get a puppy, it's going to take a lot more energy and you're probably going to kind of have a lot more loss of things in your house during the process a little bit than possibly an older dog.
Do you think a puppy would be more expensive too because you've got to spay, neuter, do all the vaccines?
Yeah, you're going to have to do some of that, I think, depending. You know, if it comes from a rescue, it may already have all that done. But I know that, you know, a lot of rescues still, because they'll have a dog that might be a little younger, they might charge a little more for that, a little more of a premium because people want it and it helps them to offset costs with older dogs that are going to take longer to be adopted potentially.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants cute, fluffy, wuffy puppy. But if I can say anything, it's older dogs are great dogs. Not terribly older if you don't want to go that old, but a couple of years old. Mm-hmm. What you see is what you get. Oftentimes they'll come to you house trained already.
Totally.
If you get them. And there's a couple different ways even to get a rescue dog. It could come from the animal shelter, certainly. You'd be doing a great job, you know, opening up a space for another dog if you take a dog from an animal shelter. You can foster a dog, or you can get it from a foster person. So you're already seeing how a dog's been doing in a house.
Totally. Totally. And it's, you know, one of the things that people talk about, too, is the fact that, you know, I have a studio apartment, so what dog is appropriate for that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes people think that a smaller dog is a less energetic or easier dog. And frankly, larger dogs, it's not a bad thing to necessarily have a large dog in a modest apartment or in the city. People kind of think that's like, oh, that's so terrible for that dog. You know, large breed dogs tend to kind of conk out very early energy-wise, you know, a couple of years in. And they're like, I just want to lay around. Or you have to deal with all the poop. You have to be ready for a lot of poop if you have a large dog.
It's true.
And little dogs are just like Energizer bunnies. nice. I mean, they will just like go mm-hmm. and they don't stop. You know, it's not a bad idea to search out some people who have some dogs, if you're looking at breeds or even breed mixes, to see, you know, what that type of dog looks like. And in the way that you want to have them in your home.
I love that idea. And I also think that, you know, with the cute little poofy animals, like, you got to get this thing to a groomer like every 6 to 8 weeks. And you've got to brush it all the time. So, like, I'm a fan of short-haired dogs because I'm lazy. Yeah. So I don't want the poofy, groomy, all that kind of thing. You know?
Small poop, short hair.
Exactly, exactly. Uh-huh. Not a problem. I'll take the attitude over the grooming and the brushing. But that's really expensive. Like, that adds up. You know?
You either got to put the time in or you got to put the money in.
Exactly.
On the grooming. It can't groom itself.
Exactly.
It can, but not the way we want it to.
And I love to ask other people, too, because a lot of times when you check in books, I mean, if you're looking at a dog book, it's going to tell you all the best attributes of these animals. And if they do have the cons, it's usually not that you're like, oh, whatever, they're beautiful and majestic, so it needs some exercise. Well, like the Huskies in the Iditarod, when they're done with the race, they're just warming up. So, like, you know, do you want a dog that you're going to have to, you know, jog with 20 miles a day just to keep them semi-sane?
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then, like, a pug, for example, is great. You walk them 2 blocks and they're done, you know?
Yeah, but you're going to have some health issues you're going to have to do it. So there's always going to be some sort of trade-off, which is why we like mixed breed rescue dogs.
They're my favorite.
Because you mix it together and everything evens out, and oftentimes you don't have to take the bad with the good. You take the good with a little less good, maybe.
Exactly.
And it's great. So, and you can get you can even get a pug through rescue.
Totally.
I don't know. We've talked about it once before when I was on, but there are breed rescues. If you want to get a rescue dog, and you want to do the right thing and you want to try to help the problem of pet overpopulation, but you're like, but I just love how this dog looks. Fine. We don't have a problem with that. There is a rescue dog group for that breed.
Totally.
Almost every single breed has a rescue dog, has a rescue group dedicated to it. So look out there. Look on petfinder.org, and that'll hook you up. That's another way to look for a rescue dog.
All right. And now, I hate to do this because we've got so much information on the dog. However, now we're going to switch over to cats because we are trying to keep this basic. So, okay. Hi. I want a cat. Where do I go?
Oh, gosh. I'm always tempted to say under any car in a sketchy neighborhood.
Totally.
Unfortunately. You know, it's funny. I can't remember the last time someone got a purebred cat. So I don't really think the people are going out there looking for purebred pet cats. So pet cats usually, you know, I would look for rescue events and adoption events. I would look online for rescue groups. I would look through Pet Finder again. Certainly there's nothing wrong with, you know, your neighbor's going to find a cat, a kitten one day. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
That always happens.
Yeah.
You can get at any of those places. You could work, and you could do the same thing with dogs, which is you could try on the pet by fostering some cats. Sometimes a litter of kittens need fostering, and that can be lots of fun to have a little litter of kittens around the house and get a taste of what it's going to be.
Totally.
So I would say any of those places, you could get a cat from those.
Do you think that, I know with dogs, we talked about this actually before the show, about if you have a dog to bring, if you get two dogs at once, it's more difficult because you need to have one trained already.
Yeah.
What about cats? Do you think it's smarter if you're getting kittens to get one or two?
It seems to be that if you can handle kind of the intensity of them running around, that two cats do quite well together as kittens. You know, you don't throw two adult cats together and expect it to go well. It can. But two kittens, whether they're litter mates or not, you often can manage those quite well. They become great pets for the whole family. They don't necessarily tribalize and become more difficult because there's two of them.
Yeah.
They do tend to help each other and bond to each other and tire each other out and do quite well if you get them at the same time and they are close to the same age.
Okay.
That is the lovely part. Yeah, don't get dogs in multiples like at the same time. Kittens, it's okay. They often, a lot of rescue groups actually prefer to adopt out a pair of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. If you want to get, oh God, a pair of kittens is so much fun.
They really are. It's great. It's a good time, but you really got to make sure you house proof your place before you do this.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the next thing, too. I don't know if with cats versus dogs, you know, dogs at least you only have to deal with everything up to like 4 feet high.
That's a good point.
But cats will get up. You've got to cat proof every tchotchke on every shelf. shower curtains.
Totally.
You'd be surprised with bags of flour. I had two kittens I fostered. I came home and I left them in the entire house. I came home, I opened the door and I thought I'd been robbed.
Oh my God.
I mean, stuff was everywhere. Everywhere. Everything was on the floor. They were hanging from the shower curtains like it was a kegger.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
My cat, one of my cats, her thing to do this year, because it's the first year you got a Christmas tree, and she stands by it and goes really high up and then just pulls off an ornament very delicately and then lets it go and watches it shatter on the floor. And so, she's not the trouble one. The one who's trouble, it was like, well, let's set this tree up and see what happens. You know what I mean? And so, you just never know what they're going to go after. I mean, Elroy's favorite thing in the world is like, oh man, what is he like? He likes tinfoil. That's one of his faves. Yeah. And like, he has a little spring toy that wherever that is, doesn't matter if he's asleep, doesn't matter if he's hiding, if it just gets picked up, it's like, oh, okay, you got the toy.
Yeah. They have, of course, they have cat trees. So you bring your Christmas tree in, the cat is like, wow, this one's really real. Wow, you must love me. And one of the things, that really helps with this, and we talked about this a little bit before, is, when you're getting a dog or a cat, being able to do some sort of enrichment for them, whether it's puzzle toys, whether it's, good cat toys that the cats aren't going to destroy, and that you really engage them with stuff so that when you're done, they don't have so much extra energy that they're going to be having total chaos in the house.
Yeah.
For dogs, it's chewing and puzzle, food-based toys. For cats, it can be a laser pen.
Mm-hmm.
It can be something on a stick that you can sit in a chair and fling it around and they chase it. It can also be, what was someone saying? Oh, cats are so easy. It can be a cardboard box.
Totally.
It can be an empty cardboard box. Take out staples. If there's any staples in the box, take it out. Paper bags, not plastic bags. Paper bags, take off the handles. They love that. There's a whole thing on the internet, the cat in the box.
Oh, yeah.
Cats and boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Cats and boxes.
And cats and sinks.
Oh,
Catsandsinks.com. Yeah.
Love it.
One of the best cat toys that I've ever seen is called Da Bird. And it's D-A-B-I-R-D. And it's basically a stick with a piece of string and some feathers tied to the end of it. But the way that they've made it, the thing spirals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you have a cat, get this thing. It's the greatest toy in the world, and they love it. Just don't leave the cat alone with the toy.
I was going to say, one of the things is when you get to know your cat, make sure, if they're just a batter and they bat things, and they only bat things, you don't have to worry. Bat, we mean hit them with their paws. That's what we mean when we say bat, not batter them. if they're a chewer and they bite things, and you really have to be careful of the toys you're playing with them with and put them away. It's not that you can't have them play with them, but you got to put them away.
Yeah, like ribbons.
I heard ping pong balls were great.
Oh, that's a good one.
I heard ping pong balls were great, and I heard something else was great. Oh, the catnip. We love catnip.
Oh, catnip's huge.
Catnip is totally fun.
The way that I use catnip is that about once a week or so, I'll take about a tablespoon of loose catnip and put it on this little carpet that we have, like a tablespoon each for each cat, and they run over and they eat it, which they need. And it totally calms them down. Their coats are fantastic. These cats are happy as anything. They're really chill. You can't OD a cat on catnip. Don't worry about that.
Oh, but then we want YouTube videos and you have to send them to us here. get the cat really whacked on catnip and then give it a ping. Wait for it, Celia. Give them a ping pong ball in the bathtub.
Nice. Perfect. Hours of fun
and videotape it.
Totally videotape it. That's important.
Oh, good, good. What was I thinking? There was something I was like, oh, I wanted to also make sure we talked about the cat books. Like, there's not, or videos, if there's any good ones. I used to like this cat book called The Natural Cat.
Oh, yeah,
by Anitra Frazier.
Anitra Frazier,
And
she's
I thought
great.
That was for a first-time cat owner. I think it's, it is an older book, but it had so much good information
I think it's the book because most cat books are like, look, it's a blue kitty. Oh, look, it's a spotted kitty. Like, dog books will tell you about the breeds and stuff.
Yeah.
But cat books, especially in the U.S., like in the U.K., they're like crazy for cat breeds. Here, it's like, it's a cat,
Or else it's, here's a Persian, here's its pillow.
Totally, totally. And you have to brush this thing, and it doesn't
and
it's going to bite you too. So I hate the fact that we're almost out of time. This is such a bummer because we have so much more to talk about.
All right, what's the biggest other thing I have to tell people with cats?
Oh.
I think it's indoor-outdoor.
Yeah,
I think it's indoor-outdoor. cats really need to be indoor cats. And the more we keep living in closer proximity to wildlife and in cities, the cats need to be inside. Mm-hmm. You are going to spend a lot of money fixing your cat, or you're going to lose them if they're outside. So spay and neuter all of your pets.
Totally.
And get the cats inside.
And if you have a cat that has to go outside, there are cat leashes. I walk my cat. My husband walks our cat. It's kind of bizarre. It's a big conversation thing. However, it absolutely keeps her completely sane. And I hate the fact that we're out of time, Denise. I'm going to drag you back for another show. I swear to God. I want to thank you, Denise Herman of EmpireOfTheDog.com.
It was a pleasure, Celia,
you
as always.
You can contact her there. Heritage Radio Network, thank you so much for all of this. Listeners, thank you guys. If you want to find me, you can contact me at foodhealer.com. This is Animal Instinct. It's our first show. Next week, we're going to be talking birds, so check on in. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.